Your peace breaks through everything. Your love causes me to win. Your joy sets my feet a-dancing. That's why this song I am declaring. I feel your spirit flowing freely. No matter what is going all around me, from the bow the storm seems fierce. But just like Jesus, I'm at rest when I say, peace reigns, love wins, and joy is in the house. Peace reigns, love wins, and joy is in the house. Peace reigns, love wins, and joy is in the house. Peace reigns, love wins, and joy is in the house.
Woo-hoo!
Your peace, it referees my soul. Your love is making my heart whole. Your joy is calling me higher. This confession burning me like fire. I feel your power now arising, creating the atmosphere to trust your ways, changing all that is around me. With authority I stand and say, peace reigns, love wins, and joy is in the house. Peace reigns, love wins, and joy is in the house. Peace reigns, love wins, and joy is in the house. Peace reigns, love wins, and joy is in the house. Of peace, govern the nations. God is love, eternal salvation. Giver of joy, set your people free. As we celebrate this reality, I see a new day coming. Well, earth will be the mirror of heaven. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. 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 Peace reigns, love wins, and joy is in the house.
All right, now you learned the song, so now you can actually sing it. So we're going to take it from the top.
Your peace breaks through everything. Your love causes me to win. Your joy sets my feet to dancing. That's why this song I am declaring. I feel your spirit flowing freely. No matter what is going on around me, From the boat the storm seems fierce. But just like Jesus, I'm at rest when I say, peace reigns, love wins, and joy is in the house. Peace reigns, love wins, and joy is in the house. Peace reigns, love wins, and joy is in the house. Peace reigns, love wins, and joy is in the house. Your peace referees my soul. Your love is making my heart whole. Your joy is calling me higher. This confession burning me like fire. I feel your power now arising, creating the atmosphere to trust your ways, changing all that is around me. And with authority I stand and say, peace reigns, love wins, and joy is in the house. Peace reigns, love wins, and joy is in the house. Peace reigns, love wins, and joy is in the house. Peace reigns, love wins, and joy is in the house.
Prince of Peace, govern the nations.
God is love, eternal salvation. Giver of joy, set your people free. As we celebrate this reality, I see a new day coming. Will earth well be the mirror of heaven? For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Oh,
amen. Amen.
Oh,
amen. Amen.
Amen.
Peace reigns, love wins, and joy is in the house. Peace reigns, love wins, and joy is in the house.
Peace reigns, love wins, and joy is in the house.
Peace reigns, love wins, and joy is in the house. Peace reigns, love wins, and joy is in the house. Peace reigns, love wins, and joy is in the house.
Peace reigns, love wins, and joy is in the house.
Peace reigns, love wins, and joy is in the house. Peace reigns, love wins, and joy is in the house. Peace reigns, love wins, and joy is in the house.
Thank you.
Peace reigns, love wins.
Thank you.
Joy in the house. Joy in the house.
That's right. Woo! It'd sing that one for about 30 years.
Just as we've been worshiping this morning, when we were declaring, peace reigns, love wins, and joy is in the house. And there was just such joy being released. In the back, I just wanted to grab this off the wall and dance around with it. And I have no idea why. But I totally believe that in the Spirit, the Lord showed me this morning that when we were declaring that out, when we were speaking that out, that was actually opening up things in the Spirit. And it was, and the Lord showed me that it was opening up things in the Spirit over our land in northern Ghana. And I saw just through that declaration and that song that Josh spoke and sung out this morning, that's an anthem from heaven that I believe is going to open up doors, hey, for this ministry, for what the Lord wants to release in the earth. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for the power of your declared word. Lord, that peace reigns. Lord, that love wins and that joy is in the house, Father. So, Lord, in the Spirit, Lord, we recognize and we honor and, Lord, we solidify that which you've released, Lord. Lord, in northern Ghana, Father, that which you've released, Father, in Mozambique, Father, that which you've released, Father, in Brazil, and, Father, that which you have released here. Holy One. So, Lord, I thank you for that this morning. And, Lord, I prophesy, Father, that as well into lands, Father, that have not come into our possession yet, but, Father, will. In the name of Jesus, Father. Thank you, Lord.
You know, God was just showing me that it's more than an expression. It's more than words on a page, but it's who we are. It's we breathe that. We display that in every way, wherever we go. Is you're beautiful. You're beautiful. And just as somebody can spread depression or darkness, he's saying, when I fill you up with my presence, when I show you my face and you declare that I'm beautiful, it's not just an emotion, it's not just for a time, but it's who you become. You become a witness to the great and mighty God. He's beautiful, God. You're so beautiful. And it becomes a fragrance that permeates every atmosphere, that it breaks into territories that have never been broken into, and it becomes contagious, and it spreads to the love spreads of God. Thank you, God. You're so beautiful. We just look at you, God. We just proclaim, God, that you're beautiful. You're beautiful. Thank you, God, for your beauty. Oh, Jesus.
I just sense right now, if you're a parent or near a little child, have a little child, just as we continue here in worship, just bring them right up to the steps under junior high. Not junior high, but whatever grade is under that. That grade and under. Kingdom kids, just come on up right to the steps. If you're a parent or a guardian, just come on up with them. Look at these little ones. You're very, very special. Very special people. This summer when we had summer celebration, a lot of you were here. Yeah. Lord's doing a new thing right now. Guys. Yeah. There's two that I feel the Lord's going to use to impart to these little people right now. Before we go to the next, is Rachel and Jamie. Someone to help with Seth, or you can come up here. I just don't know what God's going to exactly say. Just want to pray over all you little guys and girls. Yeah. Just asking Jamie. And just a sense that Jamie's got something from the Lord also. Hey, Shannon. Rach. We love you guys very, very much. You're very special to us. Yeah. We just want you to know something. That Jesus loves you very, very much. And he's so beautiful. And he's got something for your lives today. Something very, very special. Yeah. Very interesting. So listen to what God wants to tell you right now.
You know, guys, when I look at you, I see a picture of a little box, and I know that God likes to give us good gifts, and when he gives us a little box, it's something good. When it's something from God, we can open it and trust that it's something good. And I feel like when he gives us a gift of faith, it's a gift that he wants to have us receive, faith to believe in him and to be able to see him, to trust that he's good and that he loves you. And that he's never gonna leave. And that faith is a gift that he gave me when I was really young. I was telling Isaac the other day that when I was 5 years old, I remember giving my life to the Lord. And faith is something that he gives, and it stays. So, thank you, Lord. We all love Jesus here. Yes, Lord. Jesus has a special song for you this morning. Can you point to your heart? Where's your heart? Other side. There you go. Good. Just point to your heart. That's the place that Jesus wants to just bless you. He wants to make you feel happy and joyful. So you can just put your hand on your heart, and if it helps, you can close your eyes. Because I'm going to ask Jesus for the song he wants to give you this morning, okay? It's just like soaking when the Brazil team shared with us with the puppets, remember? So, okay? It's your heart. He's your king. He's your king. He's the king over all. He's your father. He's your brother. He's your king over all. He's your king. He's your king. He's your king over all. He's your father. And he's your brother. A friend that will never let go. I'm your strong tower. even stronger than what you know. I am with you forever, wherever you go. He's your king, he's your king, he's your king over all. He's your father and your brother, your friend. He will never let go, 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 he will never let go. He's your king, he's your king, he's your king over all. And he's your father and a brother, a friend that will never let go, never let go. He will never let go, never let go. He will never let go.
Just sense we're going to do something a little different today. All the junior high, can you stay in here today? And all the nursery children will go to nursery, which is 0 to 2, right? 0 to 3, whatever. And the rest of you, I'm going to ask Jamie and Rachel, and the rest of you kingdom teachers, you're free. Okay? The rest of you, I'm going to ask that we're going to go into the larger room in there. And this is a time where we want to connect with God. Jamie has some helpers, but typically Jamie leads a time called God Connect, where she imparts to them, all the children, some of you are in that, but she imparts to them about worship, the presence of God, and just coming in close. And I believe with the number that we have today that we can do that. Would you guys kind of flow with that today? Okay. You can do it. Think of all the other God Connects. That means we're going to connect in today and in the spirit that's here right now. And I believe the Lord's doing something different today. Yeah. So babies are free to go with parents to baby room. And the little ones here to God Connect in the larger room. We thank you for your heart. We thank you, Lord, that we have the privilege of just joining in the chorus of heaven with what you're doing and what you're saying. Thank you, Lord, that we desire to submit our hearts to you, our ways to you. Everything about us, Lord, we just continue to submit to your kingdom plan, your governmental plan for us here on earth as it is in heaven, here today in Frontline where we are, and out the doors as we go. I just thank you and praise you, Lord, that in your kingdom there is no lack. In your kingdom there is no fear. In your kingdom, peace, joy, and love reign supreme and are in the house. So we thank you, Lord. We praise you for that today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you that we have the privilege of blessing you. Lord, bless your name. Bless your name. Bless your holy name. Thank you for your sweet face shining on us. Thank you for your powerful eyes. Wow. Looking at us. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How many of us know that the only right place, good place, safe place here on earth as it is in heaven is where the Spirit's flowing, where the presence of God is? He's calling us and has called us to be present seekers, present finders, seekers of His presence. And I was so excited at home, I lost track of the time. Looked and went, oh no, worship has started, I gotta get there. So I'm so excited about today. So happy. Thank you, Lord. I have some things to share today. I don't know what God's going to do in there, but I know it's going to be big and good for the little hearts of these little people. And I'm excited that we have the privilege of getting into His Word and seeing what else He's saying for us today to continue on. Well, how many of us know that Jesus is planning on establishing His kingdom here as He returns? And so He is calling us to know exactly what He's saying and doing to the degree that He will reveal to us. Excuse me. Would someone mind getting me just a little water in the back? That would be really helpful. Thank you. I didn't give any scriptures to post today, so get your papers out and pencils and iPhones or whatever to look up some scriptures. And maybe, Car, if you can stick them up quickly, if it's not a problem. I'm not sure how long it takes, but kind of flow with that. That would be great. I really, really admire those who go low in the Lord. Don't just talk about it, but actually do it. That's the desire of my heart, to go there, stay there, increase there, to be able to know and understand what it means for that to happen. Thanks, my love. The greatest, best friend I could have. Yeah. I'm a blessed woman. Yeah. One moment. Yeah. I have one romantic husband. I'm blessed. May you have that as well if you're a woman. In Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew, can we put up Matthew 25, 1 through 13? That would be lovely. So if you can turn in your Bibles to that, please. Matthew 25, 1 through 13. Whatever you have. Well, NASB up there would be fine. That's what I have. But this is the parable of the 10 virgins. So if you can find that, maybe familiar for some, but just certainly want you to look at that. If you need a Bible, you don't have one. Did you want one, anybody? Okay. So if you can put it up, that'd be sweet. Okay, the parable of the 10 virgins. Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps. Verse 5. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. Verse 6. But at midnight there was a shout, "Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the prudent answered, "No, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." Verse 10, and while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later the other virgins also came, saying, "Lord, Lord, open up for us." Verse 12. But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you." Verse 13. "Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day or the hour." And if this is familiar to you, then you're you would probably say, oh, that's a verse that's, or that's a parable that's dealing with the end times, the last days. And the word eschatology means the study of the end times or the last days. And I know that there are many places that spend great amounts of time on that. And I think that's wonderful. And I think it's important to know what the last days are all about, because I believe we're in them. But I believe that the Lord says to have a balanced approach to my kingdom, so that as your focus is on me, you will have a greater understanding of what it means, what are the signs of the times, what we need to be looking for and watching for in these last days. And I love that, and believe that we're going to have, whether it's, I got to talk to Andy yet about this, but we've been talking about having a time within Frontline Training Center, a class dealing with some of the thinkings along those lines from the scriptural point of view, so that we can dive in and spend a little bit more time, because it's important if our focus, or as our focus, I should say, it's always important in scripture, but as our focus is on the bridegroom, on his face. And I believe that we're in a season where great, great, great levels of intimacy is what is on the heart of the Lord, in addition to the things that are going to play out for sure. And we're watching and watching and watching and saying, what in the world's going on? When we have our watches of the Lord, which I think this is our ninth year of doing those all-nighters and watches and such, which I dearly love, we've had a lot of impartation and prayer for Israel, for what's going on in the Middle East, for what's happening in the world. I mean, you can watch the news and get probably a nice skewed report, but at the same time, from a kingdom perspective, but at the same time, there are things that are happening, and God is saying, if you know the signs of the times, then you'll be able to interpret accurately and properly what is going on in the Middle East, what could possibly be coming, what are we preparing ourselves for, which is all part of kingdom understanding and kingdom thinking. So I love that. It's one of our heart's desires to cultivate a greater hunger for that. But not that we camp there, that we would absolutely be able to be an influencer in the spirit in that realm for our group here, and also for this region. And there are people that we connect with who have a similar heart, which is great. And then to all of Ohio and out to the nation and, of course, to the world. So I believe that's the call on our hearts, to be able to understand the true government that Jesus is intending on establishing here, and what he's doing while we are here connecting with the bridegroom face to face. And he's saying, I want you to get it as much as I'm revealing in this hour. So I'm a hungry person, hungry for his face, hungry for the truth, hungry for one of these. You know, my fingers up, the antenna are up and saying, Lord, what's going on? What season are we in? What is really going on? What is really happening? Because I believe if we're wandering around not understanding what's going on and happening, then that can present a problem for us individually, because without vision, people perish. And so God gives us proper vision to be able to be firmly rooted and grounded and established. I don't know about you, but when my children were small and they would ask me lots of why questions, I would want to answer them. I wouldn't say, oh, it's don't worry about it. Just go watch cartoons. It's okay. Don't worry about it. I would want to be able to try to help them understand at where they were as little people, to try to help them be able to go, okay, maybe I don't understand why bears love to sleep for long periods of time in the woods, you know, during the winter time, but I can at least make an attempt. And I always had my children, when they were small, watching Mr. Rogers, and we talked about that yesterday with a couple of them, and a little bit, and it's just significant in reminiscing about the past, I should say, not really talking about Mr. Rogers, but reminiscing about the past and watching things or doing things together. And what I remember as a mom when they were small was that there were many times that Mr. Rogers, in his very tender, delicate way, would lead the little children to a place of discovery and experiential discovery, but explaining things along the way. Won't you be my neighbor? All right? Everybody remembers that. And so I think that as I look at where we are and try to say, Father, what are you trying to show us and to do for us in this season? I believe that there's a measure of understanding that he wants to take us into that will help us, as I said, remain or become first and then remain grounded. And those of you junior hires, if this is new to you, you can talk to your parents and they'll explain some of this because you're in here for a reason. Not just because, oh, I want you to hear this, but I want your parents to be able to have the opportunity to share with you at dinner or lunch or something what this is all about. Because when I was your age, I wanted to know things, and I didn't have that experience. I didn't have the understanding, and I was a very frustrated child when I wanted to know something, and I didn't feel that I could get answers. Mostly that was about the Lord, because I didn't have people around me who could really relate to me that way. Or weren't able to at that time. I had other questions that were answered, business questions, all kinds of questions, you know, with my family. But the spiritual questions about why am I here, what am I doing, what's going on, those were not answered. So it was a little bit of a frustration for me. And so what we want to do is make sure that we're firmly grounded. So with Matthew 25 in mind, we know that the 10 virgins, we believe that the 10 virgins, what God is saying here, represent the church as we're waiting for the return of Jesus. And he wants us to know that as we are preparing ourselves as the bride of Christ, that we are the bride of Christ collectively, and how that will look in the last of the last days, which I believe that we're entering here and into in many ways. I believe that the Lord is saying that he wants us to be able to do things for him, not for his approval, or the approval of others, but from a place of approval in the kingdom, to be able to do things in the world that will help navigate and steer the major ship of the kingdom all through the waters around the world, if you will. And there are many ships, and the Lord is saying, don't jump ship, get on the ship, so I can teach you how to navigate, how to steward, and how to drive through or float through or whatever, soar through. In the water, not soar up high, but soar in a way of just being very, very focused and very much able to see what he is saying. So if you see an iceberg, you know what to do. You understand that there's something underneath the waters that you need to be very careful of. You are not just looking at what you can initially see with your eyes. You're able to know what constitutes an iceberg, what will happen if I get too close, what could happen, etc. And so that's what God, I believe, wants to tell us. And so the foolish or the prudent, the foolish and the prudent virgins are those who had oil in their lamps waiting for the bridegroom or going to the bridegroom, waiting for the bridegroom's coming. But those who did not have an overflow were the ones who were stuck. Those were the ones who did not really understand the signs of the times. And so the Lord was telling them, he's saying to us that I am so all about the oil of intimacy. Oil is a word or an understandable expression for the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord is talking about the oil of his presence in our lamps that are being lit on fire, and that oil needs to be constantly flowing and overflowing. And it's out of that oil and the overflow of that oil that there will be a burning that's so, so bright that it's going to illuminate our hearts, our minds, the sky, every place around us, to be able to navigate properly. That's what the Lord wants in this season, is to navigate properly so that when we meet our bridegroom or when we meet Jesus someday, he doesn't say, I didn't know you. Now that knowing, when you look up the Hebrew word or the Greek word for knowing, what you're seeing here in this particular place is the evidence of knowing intimately. There's an intimacy, there's a connection, which is not just experience, which is if I go to my husband and I say, hey, hi, honey, how are you? You got some Starbucks here, that's really great. Okay, so there's an experience that we're having in that I walk to him and he says, that's great, and that's it. Okay, I'm experiencing his yes. I'm experiencing the fact that he's there and that I can see what I see. But an encounter with him will be completely different. And that's where the hearts will connect. And there's such trust at that level. such trust because our hearts are connecting. They become one. And the marriage covenant is so, so beautiful in that when you become one, and we've spoken this out in other marriages in here, as you know, and to those of you in the past, but also in the present, it's for all of us, whether you're married or not. Because when we become one, we're one in spirit. That's amazing. Even with our individuality, even with our differences, he's very different from me. I'm very different from him. But because of that covenant and that connection that we can encounter one another, we can actually be very distant from each other in a marriage and experience the fact that we live in the same house. But encountering each other with the connection from the Lord of that covenant between us brings us into a place of oneness that opens up the windows of heaven. That's what a supernatural marriage looks like. And I have one, which is really nice. An experiential marriage is okay. But it's not supernatural, and it's not an encountering place. And so the Lord says, when my bridegroom, you're making yourself ready, kids, to meet your bridegroom. When that happens, he will look at you, you will look at him, and he will say, do I know you? Not just are you saved, but have I connected with you? Has there been this intimacy with you? So we're in a season of great intimacy that the Lord is restoring to the church, actually. He's very, very intentional about that. He's saying, I want you to connect with me. That's why I felt the Lord say, let's do something different with the kids for God Connect. That's just the name of a group. And the ladies, I know that they're trusting the Lord, saying, oh, God, show us what to do with these little souls that you've entrusted us with. That's a big call, isn't it? It's a big deal. So the Lord wants us to know these things and also to become very aware of how to initiate intimacy, the how-tos of intimacy, what that will look like. And there are seasons where the Lord is telling us, you know, you're all on a journey and you're going to move forward. That's my desire for you, one way or the other. But in the midst of that journey, and the little children are on a journey, I wish I had something like this when I was a little girl. I had very different situation. But we're on a journey, and the Lord wants us to be able to process properly on this journey so that we can accelerate, we can go as fast as he would call us to go with the intentionality of, Jesus, you're coming back, I'm preparing myself to meet you, and also to take part in the great wedding banquet and the wedding feast. That's really important. And that's something that God is saying if that's in your heart and on your mind in this season, that's a good place to be, because he's highlighting that all over the world. He's reviving his bride to be, and he's reviving his bride. And he's saying revival means that something needs to be revived. So when we pray for revival, that's a good thing. But the greater desire is to say, Lord, I want your outpouring. I want your rain. But the rain is actually going to be something that will come as a result of his bride being revived. Okay? It's like, how do we get there? If you think about how rain, and I'm not an expert on this at all, and you can help me out with this, those of you who are more expert in this, but when rain comes down from heaven, there are cataclysmic things that happen in the clouds, and I know that the waters that are resident down in this part of the world are actually drawn upward. And then there's something that happens up in the clouds, and the rain comes down. Now think about that. It's like, what? I thought it was all up there, and it's just coming down. It's just waiting. It's just up there, you know, and when all the spaceships and such are up there, and all of the stations are up there, that they're just, there's rain everywhere, and it's just waiting for it to come down. And it actually starts, it's a process that starts from here and goes up. So the Lord is saying, and that's very basic, so ask someone who can tell you specifically, Google it, and you can find a little bit more about that. Sorry, might have hatched that a little bit. But the idea is that God wants us to understand that we're praying for the latter rain. He's saying, you know, the glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of the former, because the latter rain is upon us. The latter rain is coming because the Lord is telling us that revival is at hand around the world. The fire of his Holy Spirit is moving in a powerful way around the world. And he's saying that when we are fired up and when we're burning, we're being stoked on the inside that the one that we do carry as we're brought into the kingdom as a child of the King, and then we're called to increase and mature, that maturity then will release something in the atmosphere. We will be the ones, and then the rain will come. That's part of it. It's an interesting process, isn't it? So the oil of intimacy from the parable of the 10 virgins is extremely important for us to be able to check our oil. You know, when our cars are there and we're taking them in to get an oil check, the Lord is saying, check the oil. What's going on? What do you need? Don't just put in a half a quart. Put in a full quart. But the idea here is that when it's oil of the Holy Spirit, there is no end. So the Lord is saying, in that place of intimacy, in that place of encounter, I want to bring you to a point of always having enough, where that rain is continuing to flow and is continuing to water what's been sown so that we can reap the harvest. It's like, huh, that sounds kind of flowery. Well, it's all scriptural. And we just started with the parable of the 10 virgins. But I wanted to read to you something that just really blessed me. I highly appreciate John and Carol Arnott, who are the founding senior leaders of Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship. And for many years, we, as a ministry, had gone up there and gone to various meetings that they've had there. And Pastor Bill ordered this book, this very booklet, very small booklet. And I looked at it, and I just read it. And it was just so beautiful because they talked about the journey that I'm mentioning. And there's three places that they mention the types of journey that we should be looking at on our overall journey that we have. Three of them, not one, to lead us into a place of perhaps more oil overflowing in intimacy. We all want more intimacy. We all want to be able to flow that way. But listen to this. I just took a couple of notes here. One is inward. There's an inward journey that we're on where the Lord says, I want you to be healed up. I want you to be equipped. I want you to have your gear in place. I want the Father's heart to be revealed to you so you know that you're dearly loved. And that's extremely important. And what that inward journey will lead us to is an actual lifestyle. So that's very important. Number one, very important lifestyle. And the lifestyle, as was in this book, is a lifestyle of repentance and forgiveness. I said, oh, that's beautiful. That's true. So that's an inward journey. And it's not where you stay, but it's certainly part of our world, isn't it? Part of our journey. And then we have an upward journey that's actually tied into that. So it's inward and upward, where our focus is on Him, where we're worshiping, we're praising the Lord, as we're understanding and receiving more of the Father's love, more of the Father's heart, seeing our things, hurts, pains, and such dealt with by the Lord. It's all together, which all leads us to greater, greater intimacy with the Lord, greater increase in oil. They didn't put this in here, but I'm just going to add, they quoted another scripture, but that would be Mark 12, 30 and 31 comes in. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. But if we get any of that out of order, or we don't have our priorities from a spiritual perspective in line with the way that God wants to produce oil or generate oil, we could find ourselves hitting bumpy roads and hitting dead ends and bumping into walls and things that weren't not necessarily intended. But at the same time, God uses them to increase us so that we will again engage in a lifestyle that He's trying to help us with of repentance and also forgiveness. And then the third part of the journey. So journey number three, I guess, in the overall journey is the journey of the Great Commission. And actually, it's our response to the other two. So we have inward, we have upward, and then we have outward. And that was in this little book on one of the pages. And I thought, oh, that is brilliant. And Lord, I just want to be looking at all of those. What happens is, if we get stuck on the outward, which is supposedly It's supposed to be a response to the inward and upward, okay? But if we get focused on the outward, which is going out and taking the evangelistic cue, which is going into all the world, the Great Commission, we will not necessarily be fulfilled because we'll run out of oil, right? We'll run out, we'll wear out. We just won't have that sense of well-being on the inside of us. You know, when you look at people who just seem to go and go and go, but yet they're peaceful and they're restful and they're worshipers and they're, you know, all the things that we had mentioned, more and more, it seems to be increasing. Well, you know, if they're able to step out and go to the nations or go to the streets or go to their families or go or whatever, that's really a spiritual response in a healthy way to what the Lord is saying. So all three of those journeys are important. And the Lord doesn't want us to get stuck on any one part of the journey. But he wants us to be aware. And I believe that we're in a season where the Lord is saying, I'm looking in John 15 for fruit that remains. He is looking for the fruit in our lives that shall remain on earth as it is in heaven. And wherever things are just absolutely not working, Jesus will come in and he'll chop it off. Because he loves us so much and he wants our roots to go so low in the ground that we will have a healthy pruning so that our roots will be strong and our roots will be able to suck up the very nurture in the soil and in the atmosphere and will grow into stronger oak trees. Isn't that beautiful? So God is very, very specific about what he wants to do. So I want to read to you one little paragraph I read because I questioned. I said, okay, Lord, what does this have to do with journeys? And this is what I want to read to you from John and Carol. as a bridegroom, and these things have been in our minds and our hearts and in our discussions here and behind closed doors and out on the streets. And just absolutely something so significant and important because the Lord wants us to focus on the fact that he is coming back and we are going to be crying for him and he wants us to be crying for him to come back and he wants us to be able to understand what it means to be so in love with him that we can't wait to prepare ourselves as the bride to be able to have that final consummation of the banquet, the marriage feast, the supper of the Lamb, and the consummation. And we want to absolutely be focused there as part of our journey of intimacy with him. And if that's not part of that, that's probably an area that the Lord would want to restore to us or give to us. But this is what they said. excuse me. Notice that the bridegroom doesn't prepare the bride. They are referring actually to the marriage supper of the Lamb in Revelation where the bride, it says that the bride will make herself ready. So notice that the bridegroom doesn't prepare the bride. She makes herself ready. He does not twist her arm and say, love me or else. No, he's waiting for each of us to respond. Allow us to challenge you. Do you feel low on the oil of intimacy? Were you once full and really, really in love with Jesus, your bridegroom? Are you now focusing on the cares of this life, on your job, progressing in your career, or watching the economy and making investments? Are you busy with your spouse, your kids, and your home with little time for the Lord? Are you lukewarm? Are you cold even? If the answer is yes to any of these questions, then we want to encourage you to humble yourself and get honest with the Lord. Invite him back in to take first place. Invite him to make you hungry and thirsty for him once again. Buying the oil of intimacy and preparing for the Lord's return is something you won't regret. Jesus, by the Spirit, has made it so easy for us. You don't need to be rich to buy oil. You don't need to be intelligent to figure it out. You don't need to know the right people to get in on a good thing. All you need is the simple willingness to humble yourself and humbly return to having him as Lord, to admit you've been wrong and you need a Savior. And I read that and I thought, wow, okay, Thank you, Lord, for that ouch again, for me first, and then I thought I'd share it. But what I really thought was significant as I was thinking about today and preparing my heart today was a quote that I was reading from Stuart Greaves, and he's with IHOP in Kansas City, and I really love this. And I thought it, and I had thought about this during this week and been mulling it over in my mind. And then I came upon this in the invitation. I'm not looking for things like, give me something to say on Sunday. But when I'm reading and just having fun with the Lord, it's like, wow, God, that's brilliant. And so if you want me to share it, I will. The primary need in the church today is a biblical understanding of Jesus Christ as understood by the apostles. In this hour, we must give ourselves to the revealing of who Jesus is in his personality, in his power, and in the plan of God, in his just government. It had been just, moving through my spirit this week as I was reading. That was just a quote I came across. Okay, who Jesus is in his personality, his power, and in the plan of God, in his just government. Those who live in dynamic agreement on the inside with this are those who will do dynamic things. Social justice being one that it's a whole other subject for now, which arises like a sweet aroma before the throne. The reason I say it's a different subject is because of the time factor here. But the social justice that we have stepped into for our call for us to be able to go out and do things, to spread the gospel to the hurting, to the lost, the broken, to the poor in spirit, etc., is for us to do, partner with other people, and to see his kingdom established, to see his government come. So when we think about the kingdom of God, we need to really understand when he says, my kingdom knows no end. Mm-hmm. But we must understand how he puts it all together in the terms of establishing his government right now in our families, in this ministry, and then out to connecting ministries and beyond. I'm so excited. We have 24/7 prayer in April. I don't know the dates, April something to something. And each night we've already invited many other worship teams to come in. We did this last year. And that was sweet. It was beautiful. And the church will be open the entire time. And then we'll end with a watch of the Lord and a worship time all-nighter, which is something new. And I'm really excited about this. I'm very, very excited about this and very excited about the people who will be joining us. And so if what are the dates, Carr, do you know? Or some? It's in the bulletin. Okay. So you want to really check that out. And carve out those times if you can so we can seek the Lord for all these areas, for inward, upward, and outward journeys, for the establishment of God's kingdom here, for his governmental establishment on earth as it is in heaven. Okay. There are two aspects of this outpouring as we're contending for this that shall be coming. And one is the global harvest of souls, and the other is the preparation of us, the bride, for the bridegroom. And so as we see, Lord, we know that you're not coming back until the gospel of the kingdom has been preached. Okay? So we know that that's one promise. Well, actually, do we know that, did you know that actually that, this is happening right now? This is going on right as we speak. And we're part of it. And this is what the grand finale generation is all about that Mel was talking about during Relentless Pursuit that we talked and prayed through on Tuesday night. If you remember that with his fireworks picture up there. But the Lord is saying that I want you to get ready, and it's not just one person saying it. It's all over the body of Christ. That there is a huge harvest right on the horizon. And the Lord says, I want you to be contending for this harvest as the bridegroom is coming back, and there are many facets of what all of this will look like, and when we start to get a handle on this, then the Lord brings more, and we go, now what does this mean? But we start to understand the bigger picture. It helps us define what's really going on in our midst. And we will go low and stay low as winds come. Because we want the wind of the Spirit to blow through our heart, our lives, this place. And the Lord wants that and will have that happen. But as we have this inward journey, He's looking for a lifestyle of repentance and forgiveness. It's got to be the mark of our life for part of that. So we are more and more and more healed up, more and more, so that we can concentrate more on the upward part. But at the same time, what's so amazing about God, He does everything in threes, you know, many things in threes. So inward, upward, and outward makes sense. But as we're just focusing on Him and say, oh God, just you, your face, you, through worship and praise and intercession, that's also going to speed up, accelerate the aspect of our hearts that certainly need the healing more and more. So we just keep moving. We don't stay focused in one area alone, but all of that is to propel us outward to see the fulfillment of the kingdom being established on earth, Jesus' kingdom. So, excuse me. So as we love God in all that we do, in every way, then we're going to be able to love ourselves in the way that He sees us, and then give it away in a healthy way. And beware of anything that would interrupt that process. Beware. It's not good. Now, a couple things I wanted to mention here, just to kind of whet your appetite for some things that we can talk about at a later date, I think will be fun for you, is that there have been some major prophecies. Let me read this to you here. Yeah, that was the one I wanted to read to you about re-examining where we are, just to always take a look and be in that place of intimacy. But two of three major prophecies concerning Christ's return are all about the nation of Israel. And those prophecies have been fulfilled. And I'd want to, some of those prophecies have been fulfilled, and I want to just throw them out here to you because it's part of our journey, and it's part of us understanding what God is doing in this earth. If you can put up Matthew 24, 32 through 34, this is exciting, I believe. And I'm there's other verses, but I think we'll just, you can mark these down if you'd like. One is Mark 13, 28 through 30, if you're writing. And then Luke 21, 29. I'll say them again. But the one we can show up here is Matthew 24, 32 through 34. Mark 13, 28 through 30. And then Luke 21, 29. In one of the prophecies before that was established, that was saying that Jesus, before His return, that Israel needs to be established, that Israel would become a nation. That actually happened in 1948. So Israel is seen as the fig tree, and we want to just look at this. Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So you too, when you see all these things, recognize that He is near, right at the door. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. That's exciting. I'm not going to go into a long, this will be for a class or the workshop or whatever we do this. We're still formulating this for the season, and we'll get that to you very shortly, of what that looks like in terms of we can see it all scripturally laid out, and we have a little bit more time to discuss and have interaction with you as well. But fig tree, the fig tree here is seen as an equation of what Israel is to the Lord, and the Lord is saying that we are this end time generation. We are the grand finale generation. Mel Tari wasn't just acting goofy when he was up here dancing around and putting the great explosion up here. He was very subtly saying something, but because of the tenor of the meetings, the relentless pursuit and such, we have to be on board with intimacy of, yeah, Jesus is coming back and I love Him with all my heart and I want to be part of the end time grand finale generation. And so in 1948, Israel was established as a state. That's amazing. And so the Lord's been drawing back all of the Jews all around the world to Israel since those early times. It's very exciting to see that God is doing this. And When we find it blooming, it's a sign of the near return, this fig tree. We're at that doorstep. We're really right there. Bob Jones has an amazing article you can actually read. You can go to his website. You know that he passed away on Valentine's Day, and he prophesied about the billion soul harvest in 2020 really reaching a max. And I think two Sundays ago I was preaching about that. Was that the one? I don't know. So if you miss that, if that doesn't resonate with you, go back and find it, because I think that'll help you for 2014, because there are some words that James Gall gave as well. So we really want to tap into what he's saying right now, what the Lord is saying. But anyhow, when at the website for Bob Jones, just bobjones.org would probably get you there, there's an article that he wrote right before he died. That is talking about the blooming. Doesn't say too much about Israel in there, but I've read this article, Pastor Bill and I, several different times. It's really powerful. It's going to open your eyes to see some things. And so I was going to print it off, and I thought, oh, if you're hungry, you'll go there. If you're interested, hungry and interested, you go there and find it. You can read it yourself. But it's called the something something bloom. I forget what it is now. Read it in the beginning of January. You'll see it. Cherry blooms, blossoms, you'll see it. It's the only prophetic word for January. Anyway, also another prophecy concerning Christ and his return has come to pass, is that Jerusalem would become a Jewish city in preparation for the restoration of the temple. So we know that Jerusalem became a Jewish city in 1967 after the demise in 70 A.D., in 1967. So here we have Israel in 1948 becoming a nation, becoming a state. And then in 1967, Israel becomes a Jewish city. Or Jerusalem, sorry, becomes a Jewish city. That's not very long. And there's a whole lot more that we can go through that we're not going through right now. But I will say this, in 1987, just to give you another date, the Temple Institute was formed, and this is a place that educates and prepares people in Israel, the Jews in Israel, in practical ways to restore the temple. That temple is going to be rebuilt, I'm telling you. And the preparation for that is in mode right now. And the Lord is also saying, look up and see the signs of the times. There will be supernatural signs, not just that revival is taking place in different pockets around the world. Yes, and that's exciting, and we don't want to lose sight of that. But we want a fuller picture, and we also want to know what's happening, what's going on in the world. Okay? And God is saying that there are wars and rumors of wars and all kinds of things on the horizon. It's like, oh, okay. You'll know, look up. Because you'll know that even though we don't know the day or the hour, the Lord says you can know the season. And he says, I am not one who has given you fear. There's no fear in love. My perfect love casts out fear. So if it breeds fear in anybody, then that's not a good place to be, because it should breed joy, which Pastor Bill preached on so amazingly last week, and it was so beautiful, and joy, 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 joy. What joy is, I loved it. So good. If you missed that, it's just, okay. And joy is so important in this hour, because the Lord is saying, listen, your strength will be found in great joy and fullness of joy. But when you see things or hear things or feel things in the atmosphere or in the news or whatever, if you don't have a proper grid for how the church is supposed to respond in every way, it can be a fearful thing. And God says, there's no fear in me. So, inward, upward, outward journey, come on, grab on, so that we can move forward in what God has for us in this very special hour to be alive. Very excited here. What a privilege to be alive, really. Isn't it? Wow. One thing I read, too, that I thought might be interesting, we can put up Matthew 24:14, please. And this is a very familiar scripture for you, but it might start to make sense. And I pray that, even though we're kind of doing it's not a drive-by here, like, all right, here, the end of the world, here we go. It's not like that. It's just more for, oh, Lord, open my eyes that I would see. Open my ears that I might hear. I want you to stir a deep hunger in me, not just for the last days. I know people get stuck there. No, no, no. This is hunger for him. And the Lord will reveal what he's doing to those who will follow him Stay low. Develop a lifestyle, or let him develop a lifestyle of forgiveness and repentance. Oh my goodness, everything will change as we continue then to be able to focus upward and outward and check our priorities and all that good stuff. Matthew 24:14 reads, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Oh, well, that's going to take forever. I don't know about that, guys. Do you know that right now that the gospel has been preached in every country in the world already? It's like, really? Every country. Especially with the advent of the internet, obviously. You know, the technological age that we live in, that's happened. This is a quote, or what I found from Lauren Cunningham, who is the founder of YWAM, Youth with the Mission. In 2020, the Bible will be available in every known language by 2020. Every known language. There will be a church in every known people group by 2020 because of that. Because of the solar Bibles and just the different technology and the different ways. That's the projected revelation. But that's what he felt that he got from the Lord. That's a big deal, junior hires. Wow. It's a very big deal over junior hires. It's a very big deal. When the Lord took Bob Jones home on Valentine's Day, remember that he had gone home, he thought, to be with the Lord decades before, and Jesus sent him back. And he says, you have a message of love for the church. I'm going to teach you how to love. Because the message will be, did you learn to love? If we are short-sighted on what that training ground will look like, then we're going to be offended, we're going to be bitter, we can get wrapped up in offense and have wrong thinking about things. Our feelings will rule. Our feelings and opinions, and God says, no, what I'm doing, what I'm saying in this hour needs to rule. Be wise. Be a wise virgin. So when Bob Jones came back, he was intent on, again, making the church, developing the church. And as I mentioned 2 weeks ago, I think he was maybe a bit surprised, probably not at the end, because he was planning on going, had conferences and everything in 2014. In February, in March, in April, he's with Jesus now. He's with the great cloud of witnesses. Why on Valentine's Day? What does love really look like? Well, it doesn't feel like love here. Boom, boom, boom. Okay. What does love really look like? What is God really doing, and what can we do about it with all of these other things? So one of the things that Bob mentioned that he got from the Lord in a face-to-face encounter with him was that in 2014 and 15, things were really going to heat up. And by 2020, he started speaking about this billion soul harvest of young people. It's like, whoa, where's that going to come from? Is everything going to be peachy keeny till then? Or are we as a bride preparing ourselves for all that's coming? Are we going to be here? Are we going to be taken out? Or what are we, you know, what does that look like? We can talk about all that when we go through scriptures. But if that's the focus, probably the wrong place. If we have the bigger picture, the bigger focus in proper order, it's going to change us. Our eyes will be open to more things that God's revealing, and we'll be able to see what he's doing. That's a good word. Yeah. So the biblical motivation of our hearts right now of pure and adoring love is what the Lord wants for us. And I just sense, let me give you one more thing I wasn't really going to go into, but I just wrote it down because I was thinking about it. And you can Google this, find it yourself. And I know all of you Googlers will do it. So in March 2015, there's going to be, or what's presented, you can Google it, there's going to be a total eclipse of the sun. There's also, in April, there's going to be a blood moon. It sounds like, what the heck is this? A blood moon on Passover in April, which would be the next month. And let's put up Luke 21:25-28. This is exciting, isn't it? As she's putting this up, There will be four consecutive lunar eclipses in 2014 and 15, for those of you who are interested in this. Four lunar eclipses in a row is called a tetrad. That's new to me. Maybe you knew this from science class. I forgot. T-E-T-R-A-D. And they're extremely rare, and ancient people call those types of happenings, they call them blood moons. Yeah. Well, I don't know if I'm going to go into all this. Do you have that scripture, sweetie? Luke 21, 25 through 28. But this is a sign of the times that is so significant that as more is established, and I think many of you may want to sign up for this class or workshop that we have. It's kind of whet your appetite a little bit about this. That John and Carol Arnott, when they were in, I read this in this invitation, one of the pages of it, that when they were in Toronto, they actually went to the ambassador of Israel, and they talked with him about these things because they felt that it was very significant for what was happening in Jerusalem, for when wars and rumors of wars and signs in the heavens and things are going to be coming, that things are upon us. And, you know, if any of this stuff would make us afraid or go, whoa, and the Lord says, inward, upward, outward journey, and then we're at peace always. But if we can look at all of these things together, this is exciting because Jesus is coming back and we get to be part of that, whatever that means. He's saying, no one knows the day or the hour. Okay, the return of Christ. There will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and on the earth, dismay among nations, in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and waves, men fainting with fear, not us, and the expectation of the things which are coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these things begin to take place, straighten up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Okay, well, I don't know about you, but I believe the Word of God, so I'd like to know these things. But I, to be really honest with you, when I was young in the Lord, and I first heard that Jesus is who he is, and he's coming back, I was this hungry animal going after eschatology. It's like, bah! And I wanted to know everything, and I wanted to be right. You know? I wanted to have it all figured out, you know? We're in this group, and we're going after ripping the Bible apart in classes and all this kind of stuff. And what I've learned through that over these years is that while it's important to understand the scripture and not to discourage it in any way, it's very important to have a proper balance and understanding of the bigger picture. Otherwise, we will get off and lose track of the inward, upward, and outward journey. And I believe that this is a place here where the Lord is saying that you are wise virgins because we're going after him, the presence of the Lord. And we want everything that we're doing to engage or to be brought into a place of actually encountering him, even the study of the last days where we're encountering the bridegroom and hungering for him. Doesn't that make sense? Does that encourage your heart? I mean, there's a reason. Well, it's just that Jesus wants me to love him. Yes. I want to walk in the Father's love. Absolutely. I want just to be happy. Okay. I'd rather have joy. How about you? Because happiness will go up and down. Joy can remain. And so I want to understand the true joy that Pastor Bill was preaching about last week. Enter into that and just flow with the increases that God's bringing in this season and say, Lord, I want fruit that remains in my life, and I'm willing to go through anything for that fruit to remain. Just in closing, let's look at John 15 real briefly. This is fun, isn't it? And I think there's a lot of material here now for the junior high class. More material. You already have material. You're doing a great job in there. We had junior hires out on the streets on Friday night. It just blesses me. It's like, wow, come on. Good job, guys. That's just cool. Okay, chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. Verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Verse 4, you can put, thanks for putting it up. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. 8, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. 9, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And finally, verse 11. Is it up there? Yeah. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be made full. Is that beautiful? Yeah. Just want to pray over the group. Josh, I was wondering if you could just get on the keys real quick. Thank you, Lord. We're just going to pray and close, and I just encourage you just to rest right now. Just rest in the Lord. As just asking the Lord what he wants to do. Let's just finish this up. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. The Lord's word says in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So I'm just going to ask Josh to play what the Lord puts in his heart. Yeah, I just want to pray. Father, I just praise you and thank you right now for your goodness. I just thank you, Lord. Just close your eyes and rest in him. Thank you, Lord. Just praise you for your goodness. I thank you, Lord, that today is a new day. Today, something has happened, especially here, Lord God. Something very special has occurred. And I thank you, Lord God. Yeah. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in every heart. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're here. Your word is alive. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I ask that your word just penetrates the depth of our heart, depth of our soul. You, O Jesus, are our great and mighty bridegroom. We call on you right now, O bridegroom. We are your kids. We are your lovers. You're our romancer. You're our husband. We're your bride. We're making ourselves ready. And Lord, we do that as we spend time with you, as we focus on your eyes, as we usher in your presence through our worship, our praise, our adoration, in thanksgiving, our intercession, and as we lay down and just receive. We are safe in your hands. We are secure in your hands. We relinquish everything into your hands. Our mind, our will, our emotions, our hearts. Just give you ourselves. You're the master lover. You're the master romancer. You're the master planner. Demons flee the sound of your name. Darkness runs when the brightness of your glory rises and shines. It pushes the darkness right out. Yes, Lord, that's who you are. Thank you for the security and the safety, the promises, security and safety and love in your arms. Thank you, Lord. What an honor, what a privilege to be part of the end time grand finale, end time generation, whatever that looks like. Thank you, Lord. Stir us up, most holy one. Stir us up. What a joy to know that you have everything under control. What a joy to know that we're safe in your beautiful embrace. Not just safe, but joyful and full of promise. Absolutely more than satisfied. Stir us up for more of you. Spend time with you just a little longer. Just a little longer. Just a little longer. Simple, stay low, and receive the winds of my spirit. Just receive the wind of my spirit. Yeah. Thank you for blowing through us now, through this place. Thank you that peace reigns, love wins, and joy is in the house. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. So good. We embrace the remainder of 2014. We embrace 2015, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Wow. Lord, we embrace even beyond, if it's beyond. We embrace you. Because we're here for you, for your pleasure. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of having being on this journey of love. We celebrate you today in Jesus' name. Lord, I seal what you have done in our hearts. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God bless you all. And if you're able to come Tuesday, please come so we can continue to worship the Lord as he's taking us higher in him. God bless you all. Love you all. It's a privilege to partner with you. An honor. I love you very much. Have a great week. God bless you.